Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for joining us today as Janie and I discuss the blessing that encompasses our life as we grow in Christ. As we look at the world around us today and all the struggles that we have to face, it can be difficult to know how to separate ourselves and pull apart. The Psalm 119:1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who keep his testimonies and seek him with their whole heart." So join in the conversation as we find how blessed are those who diligently seek him. Today, Janie, I want to talk about how our nation has really changed and such changes at a rapid speed over the past several months. There's differing values of what is right and wrong. We're divided over religion, politics, people's rights, and everything in between. We haven't seen this kind of division and separation in our nation since the Civil War. Our nation was founded on godly principles, but over the past 50, 60 years, we have been abandoning those principles. And the result is we've taken God out of education. We're killing babies. We're finding comforts. And it's even gone as far as watering down God's standards within the church and denouncing anything in his word that is difficult to understand.
Well, you are giving the symptoms, Sharon, of a root problem. You know, when we go to a doctor, we usually go with symptoms, and the doctor tries to treat the symptoms and many times wants to get to the root problem.
Right.
Well, let's just take the symptoms that you've just described and let's go to the root problem. We're going to have to go back about 6,000 years to the Garden of Eden, because that is where the root began. And how we got into that predicament is that when God was communing with Adam and Eve, whom he had created, he explained to them what his plan and purposes were for them, that they would take care of the world, and that they would name the creatures that he had created, and that they would care for them, and they would care for the land and everything like that. And they had heard his voice, and it was a voice that they recognized by what he said. And so when they had an intruder enter the garden, he didn't come in as a slinky snake standing up on his tail. He came in looking as an angel of light. The enemy can be very enticing.
And deceptive.
And that's a good point, Sharon, because he did use truth to deceive.
Mm-hmm.
He just put a twist in it.
And I think it's important that we understand that not all evil looks evil.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he's not necessarily, like you said, with the tail and horns and looking all ominous.
We would probably have turned our back and ran from that sort of approach. But they were enticed. They were enticed by something that we are still repeating in the same cycle. And we don't want to do a teaching today on the garden, but we want to recognize that what you described in the opening, Sharon, is really a repeat of an old pattern that has been going on for millennia. And we have not learned.
So we continually go through this cycle, and the result of this cycle is chaos in Christianity.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
Absolutely.
So we look like a nation of Christians that are defiant.
And totally confused in the fact that we are not able to separate right from wrong. It has been so twisted. And then again, back at the garden, Eve could not separate right from wrong. She was enticed. And it wasn't to do evil in her heart. It was to reap in the goodness that this intruder was proposing to her. And he sounded like truth. I'm sure he had a very wooing voice and an appearance, and you might have thought, well, he must be from God who's been visiting with us.
Well, don't you think that a lot of the issues that we have as Christians today is the mere fact that we really don't know truly who God is? We have an idea that we've been taught this, you know, cushy, good daddy, but we don't see the fullness of all that he is.
And Sharon, that's probably a lot of the fact that as a child being raised by a father that you were very and are very grateful for, you loved it when he applauded you. He loved it when he put his arms around you and gave you comfort. But I'm sure as precious as you are, there must have been times when he wasn't totally pleased with you.
Right.
And he
right.
had to do some sort of discipline. And we didn't like that as a child. But, you know, we still found a certain amount of security in that because he was protecting us.
So do you think that we have just rejected his disciplines? We've rejected the just side of God?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He has presented himself as our Redeemer, as our Shepherd. He wants to give us life. He wants to protect us. That is his character. But in protecting us, he must discipline us because he knows that sin has defiled us. He knows that even though we have an old nature, he has set us free from being under the bondage of that old nature by the cross and crucifying our flesh. And that particular aspect of the working of Jesus Christ on the cross is not taught in the churches today the way
right.
salvation is by faith.
Right.
And so we kind of have a lopsided view of who God is.
I think that it really keeps us immature, right? When we only teach part of the cross and we only teach the salvation side and leave the rest for if you get it, you get it. And if you don't, you know, praise God, you're saved.
Yes.
Right?
That's right. And what we're looking at today is a church that for the last 50, 60 years has been given over to the good side of prosperity teaching. And we do have more things with the prosperity that God has given us than we could ever imagine. But with the welcomes of the comfort that he gives us, he also gives warnings. And until we have understood that God is love, welcome, and warnings,
right,
then we get offended with him. If you turn to John 6.
Yes.
Okay, if you turn to John 6, the Lord was explaining to them what was going to happen to him and how they needed to know how to partake of him in perplexing circumstances, and they didn't get it.
Yeah.
But what they did get was, these are hard sayings. And the Lord had to go back and respond to them and saying, yes, I understand that they're hard sayings. Please don't be offended in the hard sayings.
They didn't get the understanding. They got offended.
They were so offended that even though they had sat at his feet and walked with him and learned with him.
And saw the miracles.
And saw the miracles and were in the presence of God in flesh, they turned and walked with him no more. Now, what that screams to me, Sharon, is the priority of learning what offends and how do we offend others and one another and then are offended with God when we think everything is fine, we're just miserable.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think probably what we need to do is, number one, understand that there's nothing new under the sun and that many times what we are battling is an offense in our emotions, in our thinking, and so we are confused.
I think that we get offended when we have some sort of expectation from God that he doesn't
perform
the way we want him to, or he doesn't bless our endeavors, maybe our good works, our good deeds. We get offended at God in situations.
Well, and it's like any kind of relationship. If you only get to know a portion of the person, then you're never going to have an intimate relationship. It'll always be a guarded type of thing.
Mm-hmm. So it really goes back to not knowing the fullness of who God is and,
yes,
and what Jesus did on the cross for us to give us life, that we stay these little babies who throw temper tantrums every time we don't get our way.
Well, and you have made many different comments along this line, and that is, you say that as we have grown together in sharing on Sharing Hearts, that you have learned more about the full counsel of the scriptures, mm-hmm, things that maybe had been referred to in your churches but was not thoroughly given to you as the whole counsel. And so you formulated opinions,
mm-hmm,
and when your opinions that were from your own understanding did,
right,
not coincide with the scriptures, then you had a tendency to get hurt, wounded, offended, confused, perplexed. And even some I know have gone to their pastors or their spiritual leaders asking for clarification. And we found a consistency, Sharon, in the decades of having the privilege to have a counseling ministry, a discipleship ministry, that one of the first things we would always ask the person is, have you been to your pastor? Yes, we have. And what were the results? Well, they gave a scripture. Well, what are you doing with those scriptures? We don't know what to do with the scriptures.
Oh,
it's not,
wow,
that they were in opposition to them.
Right.
They did not know how to apply them. So therefore,
well,
they've come to wrong conclusions and got offended. Sharon,
So it's no different than what we do with our children. We don't give our babies certain items and expect them to just take care of them. So really, that's what we're doing is, we're not growing in the Lord. We have just infant understanding, and then we're given mature things to take.
Let me give you an illustration, Sharon,
okay,
that is comical, but it's what we're describing in a nutshell. All right, when I needed to be disciplined, and of course that's been many decades ago, and so we had a little bit more down-to-earth form of disciplining, and after Mother would apply the rod or spank me, she immediately wanted to love on me because she wanted us to be...
She wanted you to know she still loved you.
Yes. But... Do you know... I never took one of those hugs with gratitude. I always figured, you just got through hurting me, Mother. Now you're trying to take care of your own guilt and you want a hug, and I'm not going to give it to you. So you see, the enemy twisted, mm-hmm, something that she really meant as an instruction from the Lord,
mm-hmm,
following through because I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
But the flesh never let me see, hear, or apply the truth of what she was doing in raising me.
Right.
So I did get offended with her. Consequently, I got offended with the Lord. Now let's carry that through. So now I'm offended and I'm a child in a relationship. And I'm starting to build a mindset because, Sharon, I got a lot of spankings. So I developed a, mm-hmm, habit of thinking, here we go again. You know, I can't ever do anything to please her. So I get a whipping and then she wants a hug. And it was my way of punishing her,
right,
for not giving her the satisfaction that she wanted all to be right. Sharon, that would be known as God playing.
Mm-hmm.
And in my infancy as a child, I was already in rebellion, already developing a callous heart towards what she was trying to do for me. And so the consequences were that the Lord had to let my life have some stronger chastening. And by the way, the word chastening that we think of is getting a, as we would say in the South, you're going to get a whooping, was again God's tender mercies keeping me from something that could have destroyed me as,
right,
as an adult. But it did take further strong discipline to break that will.
You know, Janie, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue.
Sharon, this is a dynamite chapter for us really being able to see the precepts that God has laid out on how He wants us to follow into maturity by what He has provided for us. And the ultimate...
It really is the steps of growth in this chapter. It gives us steps of growth once we have come to faith in Christ. Then there are things that we should give diligence to.
Excellent, excellent perception, Sharon, because really this chapter is the progressive sanctification. Now, I'll make those words simple. It is the chapter to show us how to be set apart unto the Lord for coming into spiritual maturity and the aspects that we need to give attention to in that process of being progressively sanctified. We are sanctified positionally at the time of salvation. We are given Jesus Christ. But we've got to grow up into what He has already given us.
Right. So sanctification is kind of a growth process and growing in our Christian walk and knowing that those ifs and buts and therefores are very important in Scripture, and to not be offended by what the consequences are for our behavior.
Love it, Sharon, when you take and capsulize everything I've said in about three sentences. I think I could learn from you, dear.
Well, I just think it's wonderful how God has really given us everything that we need. And it's not for interpretation. It is for us to read and apply. And what we end up doing is we go through and we pick and choose what we want to hear because the rest of it offends us.
And one of the aspects of being offended is we're perplexed. And if we were true students of the Word rather than morning devotional people, mm-hmm. then a lot of those offenses would melt into the fact that our perplexities would see mm-hmm. what the Scripture is saying. But you just cannot have a 10-minute devotional mm-hmm. and come to knowing how to live agape love.
Well, and I think one of the things that really has enlightened me through this study was that offenses come in many different ways. It's not that we're so offended by God's word, but maybe we're offended by unanswered prayer. We're offended by, you know, the weariness of praying this prayer over and over and over, and God doesn't answer. And if we're babies, I mean, you think about children who ask for something over and over and over, and we know as parents that that is not good for them, that it's not going to add value to their life if we give that specific thing to them. Because we have a better understanding, living longer.
And failing more
of what is needed. And if we could just grow up a little bit and understand that just because that prayer isn't being answered doesn't mean that God doesn't love us.
You know, Sharon, in 1 Timothy 1:5, he does talk about His word, and he says that he doesn't want us to be given to argumentative things and to fables and to genealogies and things that really are not of a priority in the Lord's mind. Mm-hmm. But he says in 1 Timothy 1:5, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith. Now, that is also the goal of 2 Peter chapter 1. Because the ultimate
right.
is, and then after the ultimate goal is given, he says, if you pursue these things, and here is the beauty, you will never stumble. Now,
right.
I know what it's like to have a bruised toe, and stop and think, he's given you the hope, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's given us in simplicity, in just a chapter and a couple of verses, how to attain. And then we spend 50 years trying to figure out what He really wants.
Yeah.
You see, we are so deceived by just the subtleties of thinking our own thoughts. And I do want to say most of our own thoughts began shortly after we came out of the womb.
Right.
So we come to the word at salvation with a lot of filters that the Word of God has to filter through, and we can become very deceived and disillusional as the true, pure Word of God filters through the dirtiness of our belief system.
And you know, Jenny, if we would reverse that, instead of filtering the Word of God through our own thoughts, if we would filter our thoughts through the Word of God, man, that would save a lot of problems.
I'm not sure that I've got my theology here practically, but is that what the Word of God, the water, would do if we did a reverse osmosis?
Maybe.
We'll have to check with the water department on that one. Well, other things that can happen that causes us to not like the warnings of God is that by Jesus Christ, we come to know the Father, and by Jesus Christ, we come to know ourselves in selfishness as we look to Jesus Christ as the standard. You can't look to me and say, I'm going to set my standard against what Janie Ratzlaff knows, because you will really get messed up, and vice versa. Jesus Christ is our only standard.
Mm-hmm.
But His Word convicts us because we do not think we can ever attain to His standard. And in our own strength, we're right, we can't. But again, we have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Philippians 2 says, let this mind be in you, which is Jesus Christ. And then it gives us the steps as how to think the mind of Christ. Philippians 2, from about verses 5 to 9. Another wealth of richness. And that should cause us to be welcomed into thinking the way He thinks.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Janie, before we close today. We've talked about offenses, and we've talked about how subtly they come in. And if we recognize that offense, is it just as easy as asking for forgiveness or forgiving?
Well, forgiving is always the place to start.
Okay.
We have to accept the forgiveness that God has given us, and then He says, be like-minded, that we are to forgive as He has forgiven. And when He died on the cross, He gave us 100%.
Okay.
And then when He cried out, it is finished, He was saying, everything, Father God, that You sent me to earth to do, I have accomplished. And then with the resurrection, that became a reality to anyone who would accept Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Okay, so basically what we need to do is look to whether we need to forgive, grow.
Our opening point is to always take care of the forgiveness issue as God has instructed us.
Whether that's forgiving someone else or asking God to forgive us.
Yes.
Because we can be offended by Christ.
Yes. And Sharon, I really think we need to spend maybe another couple of weeks, I don't know how much time, on explaining more the subtlety of how the offenses occur. It's within all of us. And right now with the unknowns, we are going to have this as one of the major stumbling blocks within our families, whether it is our own home family,
right,
or whether it's in our church family, or whether it's in our community family. And we cannot let the enemy take one of his key tools and have victory, because God defeated him at the cross.
And I think that's a good thing to keep in the forefront of our mind when we think about being offended, that we are giving in to a tactic of the enemy to divide us, and not to let him win, because he's already defeated. And so it's not to cause him to win, it's just to cause defeat in our own lives, and to not take full advantage of everything that Christ did on the cross when He came and died and resurrected for us.
And He is defeated. Now we need to give balance in closing, and that is, He has still taken territorial rights because of the garden scenario that we mentioned earlier. And so He does have authority as the God of this world, but we are not of this world. We are of Jesus Christ, and we are sojourning or traveling in this world as victors, not as victims.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.